Welcome to Intelligent Medicine, America's foremost program on health, medicine, and nutrition, featuring the latest on both conventional and alternative therapies. Now, here's Dr. Ronald Hoffman.
Welcome to Intelligent Medicine. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and we've got a busy schedule in store for us this hour. We invite your phone calls, 888-302-3684, 888-302-3684. And this week, if you will care to check out drhoffman.com, or if you subscribe to the newsletter, you would have received an article which delivers my verdict on the Whole30 diet. This is a diet that I've been doing well now into a month and a half. You're supposed to do it for 30 days, but I enjoyed it so much and I'm benefiting from it so much that I decided to continue with the diet. So there's an article there, the Whole30 diet, is it right for you? And what the diet is, it's a paleo diet. There are no grains. There's no sugar. There's no alcohol. And that posed a little bit of an obstacle around holiday time, but I'm feeling, you know, more energy, more focus, virtual absence of cravings. And it wasn't that different from the diet that I'd followed before. But as a result of, well, in part due to my efforts, but in part due to its general popularity, it's going viral. And many of you listeners and, in fact, some family members, people who I work with, who put out our newsletter and who manage our website, many of them are taking the plunge. They're doing 30 days of the Whole30 diet and reporting extraordinary benefits. So check out drhoffman.com for articles on that. We did a podcast on that subject that we'll put out next week. And I'm going to do a follow-up article next week with my final impressions, plus some very interesting testimonials from folks in my circle. Check it out at drhoffman.com. All right, Super Bowl weekend. Okay. Here's an article that relates to the Super Bowl in a certain way. Henry VIII, kind of a wild and crazy guy. He was famous for beheading two of his six wives. You know the song by Herman's Hermits? Henry VIII, I'm Henry VIII, I am. Okay. So he was kind of a wild and crazy guy. But a new study suggests, it's actually not a study, it's history of medicine, reveals that he may have suffered from traumatic brain injury or TBI. Or, as the recent movie Concussion with Will Smith dubs it, CTE, chronic traumatic encephalopathy. It's a term that covers a broad spectrum of cognitive impairments resulting from blows to the head or concussions. And we've seen this illustrated tragically with football players. These include problems with memory and reasoning, as well as mental health issues such as depression, aggression, anxiety, and emotional dysregulation. And so they say that he started out a pretty normal guy. But it is a historical fact that in 1536, Henry VIII was left unconscious for 2 hours after he was unseated from his horse during a bout of jousting. The horse, to add insult to injury, fell on him. And following this incident, he started to behave erratically. He started to display symptoms often associated with CTE. So he then developed depression. He became despondent. He secluded himself in Hampton Court Palace for long periods of time. He suffered from amnesia and an irascible temper. And that is thought to be one of the reasons why he offed two of his six wives. The researchers also speculate the damage to the king's pituitary gland may have led to hypogonadism, which is a loss of testosterone, causing him to be obese and rotund and kind of demotivated. And, another possible explanation, they don't talk about this, is maybe just eating too much. And he got obese. And it's interesting that he was recently portrayed. Many of you saw this on Masterpiece Theater, Wolf Hall, starring Damian Lewis, recently of Homeland fame. He played Brody over many consecutive seasons. And then they had to give him a fat suit to play Henry VIII in the popular series on PBS. So there you have it. Oh, and this item, how can you reverse the consequences of head trauma? What's the nutritional antidote? Here's an article, just came out. The effect of docosahexaenoic acid, or DHA, on a biomarker of head trauma in American football. Man, this stuff's going to fly off the shelves after the Super Bowl. This article just out. American football athletes are exposed to subconcussive impacts over the course of the season, resulting in damage to their brains. Docosahexaenoic acid, or DHA, has been reported to reduce trauma of the neurons associated with traumatic brain injury in rodent models. And this study examines the effect of differing doses of DHA on serum neurofilament light, which is a marker of damage. Interestingly, neurofilament light, the abbreviation for it is NFL. So they gave these athletes in the NFL DHA. It's kind of alphabet soup here. They gave the NFL athletes DHA, and then they measured their NFL. And what they found is that there was a reduction in the damage to the brain as measured by neurofilament light, or NFL. So NFL players, their NFL was better due to DHA consumption. Findings from the study, they say the first large-scale study examining the prophylactic use of DHA in American football athletes suggests a neuroprotective effect of DHA supplementation. So, hey guys, you know, suit up and take your DHA prior to the big showdown this Sunday. All right, we got callers. Let's take a call now from Paul in Princeton Junction, New Jersey. How you doing?
Very good, doctor. Thank you for your excellent program, and I've benefited greatly from it for over 20 years, as well. Great. As the excellent supplements you provide.
Thank
and
you.
I had a question today, doctor, on I was just diagnosed. I had esophagitis diagnosis last year. I had an endoscopy done in June of last year, and I had the dilation done because I was having a problem swallowing for a couple of years.
So they sort of expanded your esophagus. They put a little, like a bougie down there to dilate it.
Exactly, doctor. Exactly. And so things were going fine up until January, and then I had another problem swallowing. I was taking the DGL since June of last year as well.
Didn't do the trick, I guess.
But this time when I had the endoscopy done last week, they did find Barrett's esophagus and a small part of the upper esophagus, and so the rest of it seemed normal, he said. But
right. But
anyway, so I was I loathe taking any pharmaceuticals if I could.
Well, they want you at this point to take like Nexium or Prevacid or something for life, right?
Exactly, doctor. And I was hoping I'm taking this enzyme now.
Let me ask you a question, Paul. What, in your estimation, is the risk of esophageal cancer if you've been diagnosed with Barrett's esophagus, which is a form of precancer? What would you say, percentage-wise? I mean,
I was thinking, you know, I took a step closer to it, doctor. I wasn't sure of the exact percentage, but I do know it's not a good thing to go.
Well, what do you say? Just give a rough guess. No penalty here. This isn't a game show.
Maybe about 10%, doctor.
Okay, so hang on there. The vast majority of people tremendously overstate the risk of esophageal cancer when you have Barrett's esophagus. Studies have been done, and actually you'd be very surprised to hear that the risk is somewhere along the lines of 0.1 to maybe 0.2%. That means that you may have one or two per thousand people with Barrett's esophagus developing esophageal cancer. Now, that's not inconsequential because it's a bad cancer. But the vast majority of people think that this is the death knell for them, that they're going to get a serious, potentially incurable cancer. So we need to have a commercial break. But, Paul, can you stay on the line? Because I want to share with you a protocol that I use for the many patients that we see with Barrett's esophagus. Because there are nutritional protocols that have been very successful in my patients for preventing progression. And in many cases, we see complete regression of the Barrett's esophagus with the right kind of nutritional support. It's not just about taking acid-blocking medication. That's maybe part of it. That's not even for sure because they haven't done any long-term trials of the acid-blocking medication to see if they really work to prevent esophageal cancer. Just right now, the trend is in an abundance of caution. They say take those acid-blocking medications because we don't want continual irritation of the esophagus. But the nutrients make a difference, and I'll share that with you momentarily. On today's edition of Intelligent Medicine, I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman.
We know probiotics are good for digestive health, but what about your skin? I'm Kat James, author of The Truth About Beauty. Common skincare products can disrupt the balance of the friendly bacteria on your skin. That's why Dr. O'Hara's probiotics merge ancient Japanese fermentation skills with probiotic and prebiotic nutrients into a revolutionary 100% natural skincare line to help revive and support balanced microecology for healthy skin. Their Kampuku Beauty Bar, honored with the Best of Beauty Award by Better Nutrition, promotes optimal skin ecology while clarifying and rebalancing even sensitive skin without drying. Their Magaroku lotion combines Dr. O'Hara's award-winning pre- and probiotic isolate with 14 oxygenating plant extracts plus one of the most skin-compatible emollients known to restore your glow. Research confirms it inhibits growth of harmful bacteria that can cause skin disorders. Use it alone or with your favorite serums. Dr. O'Hara's probiotic skincare is available at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and other fine stores.
Why do I use Clear Sinus Care? Because I like to breathe.
Because I hate having a dry nose.
There are a lot of reasons to use Clear Sinus Care, the nasal rinse and sinus spray with xylitol. But the best reason is because it works.
I use Clear because my doctor told me to.
Because it's all natural.
Clear, spelled X-L-E-A-R, moisturizes and soothes those dry and irritated sinuses. Clear Sinus Care not only helps with dry air problems, it also helps wash away pollens, pollutants, and other airborne contaminants, making your sinus passageways all clear.
Because my snoring was keeping my wife awake.
Because now I'm not all stuffed up.
And because it's all natural, Clear is 100% safe for children. The perfect way to keep your whole family healthy and breathing right. Prevent the misery and stop the suffering with Clear. That's X-L-E-A-R at clear.com and fine retailers.
Available at Whole Foods, Vitamin Shoppe, and other fine natural products retailers.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Dr. Ronald Hoffman with you. And our number, 888-302-3684, should you care to call us. We've got Paul on the line from Princeton Junction, New Jersey. Hey, Paul, are you still with us?
Yes, sir. Yes,
okay.
Doctor.
So we're going to tell you a little bit about nutrition for Barrett's esophagus. So, first of all, it's important to eliminate the cause of the GERD. And, you know, you may be already eliminating some of the obvious causes, like you're not drinking any scotch, which can scorch your esophagus. You're possibly avoiding coffee. You may not be having a lot of fried foods or very acidic foods like tomato sauce or orange juice. I mean, these are all important. But actually, many patients can conquer GERD with a diet that is a grain-free diet, like a paleo-style diet. That's actually one of the reasons why the Whole 30 is popular with people with gastrointestinal ailments, because it helps the upper GI tract, it helps the lower GI tract, alleviating irritable bowel syndrome by eliminating not just wheat, but other grains that could potentially cause gas, bloating, and fermentation in the gut. So that means that's number one. Avoiding obesity. If you're overweight, it's going to press up on your esophageal sphincter. It's going to cause reflux. That's probably not the case with you. You sound like a conscientious, health-conscious person. So the nutrients that are helpful, fish oil has been shown to offer protection. They actually did some research specifically on this in Barrett's esophagus. 52 patients with known Barrett's esophagus underwent endoscopy. They were randomly assigned to consume EPA for 6 months or no supplements, which are the controls. And what they found was there was a reduction in inflammation as a result of the EPA use. Black raspberries may prevent cancer of the esophagus, probably other berries as well. Vitamin C has been shown to help protect against cancer of the esophagus. And that's probably one of the reasons why in China, people on poor diets, eating a lot of very, very spicy, poor quality fermented foods and smoking at the same time, maybe drinking some liquor, had a very high incidence of esophageal cancer until it was discovered that when you drink a lot of green tea, you ameliorate that effect. And so it's been discovered that EGCG is a real cancer fighter. And for people with Barrett's esophagus, I would have them take 2 to 4 EGCG capsules daily. Also, DIM Pro is a brand name for something called diindolmethane, which is a potent extract of the cabbage family. Cabbage family vegetables may be protective against cancer, in particular cancers of the gastrointestinal tract, and DIM seems to be that magic ingredient that really makes a difference. Also, folate may be protective against the transformation of precancer. You know, this is a precancer. It's almost like a like an abnormal pap smear in some ways, except it's the other end of your body. Studies have shown that folate may have a protective effect against cervical cancer when you have an abnormal pap smear. So you can get your dietary folate from lots of green leafy vegetables, fine, or you can take supplemental folate that is available as an over-the-counter. Not folic acid, but folate seems to make a difference. And I would probably throw into the mix gamma tocopherol, vitamin E, and vitamin D because of its general anti-cancer effects. And you may want to do, you know, like an extract of pomegranate, something along those lines. That may also help the cause. Resveratrol may have protective effects as well. So, I mean, it's a bunch of supplements that you can consider, but that's a cocktail that virtually 100% in the patients that I see has a very profound protective effect against esophageal cancer in patients with this type of precancer. So don't worry. You're very unlikely to end up with a more dangerous condition. Does that help you out, Paul?
It does, Doctor. I take some of those things, but I'm going to add the other ones that you mentioned, and I greatly appreciate your wise counsel on that.
Okay. And, you know, call us in about 20 years and let us know if it has protected you, all right? Because that's about the time that it takes for cancer to potentially develop from this early precancer. Thanks very much for calling. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. When we return, we'll reflect a little bit on the Flint tragedy. Poor oversight of the water quality in that municipality has put a lot of residents in danger of lead toxicity. We'll take a look at that momentarily on this weekend edition of Intelligent Medicine.
If you're like me, you don't have time to be sick, yet our busy lifestyles can leave us vulnerable. This is Dr. Ronald Hoffman. Do you know that in Japanese, Kayo means strength? This winter, find your immune strength with 4 key natural immune-boosting supplements from our friends at Kyolic. It's what I call the Kyolic Advantage, and what I use myself. Try Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract 103 for natural immune wellness and cardiovascular health. Since 70% of your immune system is in the digestive tract, Kyodophilus bolsters immunity and gut health with shelf-stable beneficial bacteria. On the go, try Kyo Green, a convenient powdered greens drink mix that offers a natural source of key vitamins and minerals. And don't forget ModuCare, a unique combination of plant sterols proven effective at balancing and strengthening immunity. So eat right, exercise, and get the Kyolic Advantage to optimize your immune health today. Available at fine health food stores everywhere.
Why do I use the Spry Dental Defense System? Because it tastes great.
Because fillings are ugly.
There are a lot of reasons to use the Spry Dental Defense System, a complete line of oral care products such as toothpaste, mouthwash, gum, mints, and more, made with 100% xylitol. But the best reason is because it works. And because it's all natural, Spry is 100% safe for kids. There are even Spry products developed especially for your children and toddlers.
Because my dental hygienist told me to.
Because it's all natural.
So ask for Spry by name whenever you buy toothpaste, mouthwash, gum, mints, or anything else for your mouth. And make sure you're receiving all the benefits of 100% xylitol products.
Because I want a great smile, duh.
Why do I use Spry? Because it works?
The Spry Dental Defense System. Great taste, less fillings. For information or to purchase Spry, visit SpryDental.com.
Available at Whole Foods, Vitamin Shoppe, and other fine natural products retailers.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Dr. Ronald Hoffman with you. And before we get back to calls, I want to tell you that we did a great podcast last week, which we posted at drhoffman.com with James Laval, who shared with us some exciting new research from the folks at Kyolic aged garlic extract. And, you know, look, they're a sponsor, full disclosure, but this information is just dynamite information. And I want you to listen to the podcast in its entirety. It's downloadable from drhoffman.com. And the crux of it is that aged garlic extract has some really potent cardiovascular preventive effects. It's apropos we talk about it because February is Heart Month. And a recent study done at UCLA Medical Center by Dr. Matthew Budoff, we'd had him as a guest previously on Intelligent Medicine, has completed four randomized studies, and they strongly suggest that aged garlic extract can dramatically slow the progression of atherosclerosis and even reverse early stages of the disease. They looked at 55 patients aged 40 to 75. They had metabolic syndrome, meaning they were overweight, at high risk, pre-diabetic, and they were screened before and after for calcium in their arteries, using a non-invasive imaging technology that accurately measures deposits and plaque buildup. And the recipe was they either got four capsules of aged garlic extract per day. In the past, I've been recommending one capsule twice daily, but it turns out it's the sweet spot is at four capsules per day. They found that those who had taken aged garlic extract had slowed total plaque accumulation by 80%. There was reduced soft plaque, which is the more dangerous kind of plaque. It's actually, I think the hard plaque is more dangerous. No, that's going to sit there, but soft plaque can rupture. And they demonstrated regression, less plaque on follow-up, which is mind-blowing because generally you can slow the progression of plaque, but you can't make it get better. So dramatic results. Also a great study on blood pressure lowering with aged garlic extract. It helps with that too. So check out that podcast, please, at drhoffman.com. All right. Let's talk to Dolores. Welcome. You've been waiting a while. Dolores, how are you?
Hello, doctor. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I have this condition called vestibular imbalance.
Yeah.
And I have trouble walking.
Mm-hmm.
But my basic health, I guess, is all right, even though I have a pacemaker. I have UFTs, and I've been diagnosed with a blood clot behind my right eye.
What is UFTs? United Federation of Teachers? I'm not even sure what a UFT is.
Excuse me?
What is a UFT?
Urinary tract infection.
Oh, UTIs.
UTIs.
Okay, because,
oh, I'm sorry.
No, because you just said that you were a member of the United Federation of Teachers.
I got
teachers.
It
okay.
wrong. I'm
okay.
Doctor.
Yeah, UTIs. Okay, so look, balance is a real challenging problem, especially as you get older, because there's a multiplicity of ways that you develop balance problems. One is in the brain, in the center of the brain that controls balance, which is the cerebellum, which ages, okay? Another is in the muscular control of your legs, which may be hampered by something like spinal compression. There's a condition called spinal stenosis, which makes it, your legs weaker. And then you're less able to maintain balance and equilibrium. And then there's sometimes the medications that you take. And I'm not going to go through a litany of the medications you take, but many medications that older individuals take affect balance. So the real way to deal with that is to use some form of vestibular retraining. You can actually sort of retrain your brain to deal with balance. And it's best done as a preventive strategy. We won't wait till you have balance problems, but, you know, continuously train, you know, when you're in your 50s and 60s against the possibility that you're going to have balance problems later. There's also even some suggestion that certain nutrients like vitamin D may enhance leg strength, reduce the risk of falls in the elderly, because there's something about vitamin D that doesn't just strengthen the bones, but it may also strengthen the muscles of the legs. So, you know, without going into all the details on that, it's a challenging condition, but it can be worked with. All right, I just wanted to sort of make mention of the Flint tragedy, wherein we're seeing terrible government error, which allowed thousands and thousands of inhabitants of Flint to be exposed to lead toxicity. Lead, above all, affects the brain, can cause neurological problems, can cause serious problems in children, may reduce their IQs, may make them more prone to violent behaviors. And we tend to think of this, well, okay, that's Flint, that was there, it's, you know, not my problem. But it's a problem everywhere in the United States. We, you know, you get in a plane, you depend on the pilot to get your plane from here to there, and there's an element of trust there. But when public officials are supposed to provide oversight over environmental pollution, and they're asleep at the switch, or they're corrupt or inept, this can cause tragedies that are very, very difficult to reverse. So what do you do when you have lead toxicity? A recent study called the TAC study shows that using chelation therapy can dramatically reduce the lead burden in the body, which has an impact on cardiovascular risk. It's not just the brain that's affected, but the heart gets affected by excess levels of lead. Really very important to get checked for lead. Thanks very much for joining us for this segment. Be right back with more of your phone calls momentarily. Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Dr. Ronald Hoffman with you. And before we get back to your calls, here's an important update on the Zika virus. This is a big deal. We actually, as physicians in New York, you know, I have registered as a doctor in New York, obviously, and we got an email blast from the State Department of Health that doctors should be on the lookout for Zika virus, in particular in travelers returning from the Caribbean. You know, it's that time of year where people go to parts south to escape the cold here in the Northeast, and there are now outbreaks in at least 13 states in the continental United States. I mean, outbreaks, no, and we're not talking thousands of people, but a handful of people are coming back from parts south, and they have the Zika virus. And a particular concern is pregnant women, because Zika virus is associated with a devastating birth defect called microcephaly, in which the head and the brain are smaller, can result in profound mental retardation. And there are now warnings in certain countries like Brazil and throughout the Western Hemisphere, the southern part, that is, about the risk of pregnancy in mosquito-infested environments where the Zika virus might be transmitted. Now, more ominously, there is now at least one case of very likely sexual transmission of the Zika virus. In other words, it didn't take a mosquito to bite one person, then bite another person to transmit it. There was a person who had no exposure to mosquitoes who had sex with a person who was carrying the virus, and the virus was transmitted. So this opens up the possibility that it may not be just about mosquitoes. And we'll learn soon, as temperatures warm up in the Northern Hemisphere come spring or come summer, whether we'll indeed have an outbreak. So a lot of people are saying, well, you know, I'm that certain age, you know, I'm 50, I'm 60, and 70. I don't have to worry about that. I worry about my kids, maybe my grandkids, but it's not going to affect me, because the good news is that about 80% of people who are affected by Zika don't even feel it. It's a mild infection. It can cause devastating birth defects, but it's a mild infection. But here's a concern. French researchers say that Zika is linked to a condition that is very devastating called Guillain-Barré syndrome. It's a paralytic condition, and they say that that link is almost certain. This is based on research done in French Polynesia 2 years ago, where the Zika appeared, and all of a sudden, the incidence of Guillain-Barré syndrome increased 20-fold. So there may be more to this outbreak than we think. So they're rushing along research to determine if they can come up with a vaccine against this. Yeah, there may be a pot of gold at the end of the rainbow for pharmaceutical companies, because yet another viral scare, cook up yet another vaccine, and all the publicity associated with Zika may power a great deal of paranoia, which is getting a lot of people signed up for yet another vaccine. conspiracy theorists think, you know, why are they talking about Zika now? Well, maybe, just maybe, this is an initiative to get another vaccine funded and approved, which will create a windfall for the pharmaceutical industry. I'm not such a conspiracy theorist. I'm hoping that, as with previous viral outbreaks that have scared us a lot, Ebola, various types of flu virus that was thought to be very, very dangerous, that our concern over this will soon dissipate and we'll move along to yet another viral scare. Scare of the year seems to be in order in the media. All right, 888-302-3684. Let's talk to Carol in Hartsdale, New York. There's a follow-up call, right, Carol?
Yes. Thanks, Dr. Hoffman. I appreciate all your information you provide
sure.
us. Yeah, you spoke last week about the use of Levaquin and Cipro.
Right.
And for infections. And I, with all the harsh side effects, you know, you're reluctant to use it.
Yes.
So why can't they go back to the erythromycin that they prescribed in the 70s, 80s, and 90s, which did wipe out some of these infections?
Well, yeah, here's the problem, is that because we've been so liberal with the use of antibiotics, that a lot of antibiotic resistance has arisen. Also, there's a tendency among doctors to use, unfortunately, the most powerful, newest, and most expensive medication. And that's part of medical economics, because doctors are detailed by pharmaceutical reps, and they see advertisements in medical journals, which feature, you know, the biggest new gun against bacterial invaders, and they're likely to adopt it, you know, because why use a slingshot when you can use a howitzer? But in many cases, you know, I see women who have urinary tract infections. Sometimes I just recommend like an old fashioned antibiotic.
And which, you know, one do you like prescribe for them?
Like a macrodantin or something like that.
Erythromycin isn't being used anymore. It was so effective for lung infections.
Well, it's more effective for lung infections than urinary tract infections. For some reason, we think that especially things like Biaxin, erythromycin, it almost doesn't work anymore. But Biaxin is in that family and is popular still for treating very severe lung infections. But the big news is that urinary tract infections can often be treated with natural methods. They can certainly be prevented by using D-mannose. D-mannose is something you can find in a health food store. You take half a teaspoon 3 or 4 times daily. You kind of rinse your bladder with it. It's very effective at suppressing infections. A very serious infection might not respond to that. Uvaerce, which can be toxic if you use it too long. I recommend it be used no longer than a couple of weeks. But Uvaerce as a tincture or Uvaerce as a capsule has pretty nice antibacterial effects in the bladder. And then there's cranberry extract, but you don't want it sugary because the sugar feeds the bacteria and can be problematic. Okay, so there's some ways of dealing with that. And you got to hydrate. And guess what? You know, with this tendency, if you have like a little bit of a urinary tract infection brewing, it's so inconvenient, especially for women, to find a bathroom that they stop drinking. And that leads to stagnation of the urine in the bladder. And what you really want to do is you want to make sure that you're emptying your bladder thoroughly, rinsing it out with lots of water.
Mm-hmm.
So that can make a difference. And, you know, avoiding sugar is important, too, because the bacteria just love sugar. And these days, who doesn't eat sugar, right?
No, thank you. I appreciate
sugar.
It. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you for your call, Carol. All right. This item, I think, is very important because we keep talking about the BMI, the body mass index, as a way of determining whether people are obese or not. And it's getting kind of ridiculous because according to the BMI, it's the rare person who is normal. It's actually based on BMI, body mass index, which is a calculation derived by dividing a person's weight in kilograms by the square of the person's height in meters. I guess one of the reasons they like to use the BMI is because nobody, a layperson, can't figure this out. You've got to use a formula. It's very complicated. I guess you can go to the internet and get a plug-in and just, you know, plug in your stats and it'll yield your BMI. But it's the rare person who's got a normal BMI these days. And many companies use their employees' BMIs as a factor in determining workers' health care costs, and even they're thinking about penalizing individuals who have a higher BMI. A new study led by UCLA psychologists has found that using BMI to gauge health incorrectly labels more than 54 million Americans as, quote, unhealthy, even though they might have a higher BMI, but they're not unhealthy. They're not at risk for metabolic syndrome, prediabetes. If you check out the BMI, Super Bowls this weekend, you check out the BMI of the average, not even lineman, yeah, because they're big. Some of them are literally, you know, carrying too much weight, but of a very fit running back, you may find that they are categorized as obese right alongside an unhealthy person sitting at home eating pizza in their Lazy Boy. They have the identical BMI, but there's a heck of a lot of difference in terms of their physical conditioning. So BMI is now under fire, and rightly so, because it's a very inaccurate way of assessing health risk. I hope that ultimately BMI bites the dust. So what should we use instead? You know, a very simple measure is your waist circumference. That tells you a lot about your risk. If you have a waist circumference greater than 36 as a male, greater than, say, 30 as a female, you're probably at risk. You can even refine that measurement by doing what's called a waist-hip ratio. If the ratio is greater than 1 as a male, greater than 0.8 as a female, you are at risk of metabolic syndrome, higher risk of cardiovascular disease, higher risk of stroke, diabetes, and even cancer. So that's a more precise measurement. You want to get real precise? Do a body composition analysis where you actually stand on a scale, which is a sophisticated electronic device that measures your body fat. That's even better as a way of determining risk. So let's kill the BMI once and for all, because people are unduly being stigmatized, penalized as a result of a measurement that is doesn't make a lot of sense anymore. Let's talk to Arthur in Queens, New York. How you doing, Arthur?
Hello, doctor. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I suddenly came down with a panic attack. I was out shoveling snow last week, taking it easy, not really a problem. And then I got this terrible claustrophobia, and it got worse. I couldn't sit still. Everything was closing in. I saw my doctor, and he gave me 0.5 milligrams of Xanax. And it took the edge off.
Okay, so let me tell you. I mean, I get what you're telling me. It's interesting that the shoveling prompted this. And what the shoveling probably did is it got your heart racing. You didn't like that sensation. It made you feel weird. And then all of a sudden you're off to the races with a great deal of apprehension. It's almost like the straw that broke the camel's back, because this may have been building up and there was a fault line sort of in your physiology, and that shoveling snow episode put you over the edge. So what needs to be done? General physical conditioning is beneficial here. Also, taking more magnesium. Magnesium deficiency is a big cause of instability in the autonomic nervous system, which can lead to the feelings of panic, weird sensations. You may want to take a type of magnesium called protosorb magnesium. That's a magnesium threonate, which really works more in the brain, which is really the site of the panic attack. So I'm using this protosorb magnesium with a lot of effectiveness in patients with panic attacks. But, you know, other forms of magnesium can work as well. You want to take theanine. Theanine is a potent extract of tea, the part of the tea. You know, there's caffeine in tea, but there's also EGCG. That's the anti-cancer component. But theanine is the relaxing component of tea. Very, very good for anxiety. And hey, you know, blood sugar control, very important. Maintaining a stable blood sugar has a very profound influence on the mood. And so avoiding hypoglycemia can make a big difference. And if you're still in trouble, cognitive behavioral therapy. Don't rely on drugs, because this can be treated naturally quite effectively. Well, thanks very much for joining us. Remember that this program is just the tip of the iceberg of the intelligent medicine phenomenon. We got lots more copy and podcasts available at drhoffman.com.